Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Sunday is not the day to relax.
Hang on, say it again. Sorry, I was just buying some crypto.
Going to prepare is preparing to fail.
Because Triple M footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
And if you think you're better than everyone else, then you do your thing.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
This is the Sunday Rub for Ream Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
What a beautiful Sunday afternoon it is. It's Mother's Day everywhere around Australia, but in Melbourne it's particularly beautiful. 20 degrees. We've got a couple of cracking games. Adelaide up against the Saints, Collingwood up against the Giants, and some players and some ex-players in here that we want to talk to about what's happening on this Sunday. And it's been a big round of football so far. As I get around, and we've got a player, a former player in Stevie Johnson, who's on link at the moment. So we'll speak to him in a minute, but he's had a big night last night. His team had a really good win, so we'll get to the bottom of that. But Lee Montagna is here as always.
Hello, Brownie. Yeah, a bit of a change up for us in the studio today, but still looking forward to it and having a chat and finding out how everyone's going.
So I did a bit of work now, and then we reconvene at a bit after 4 o'clock to go and call the game, but you are not with us, I believe.
No, I've got first crack tonight, so right. I won't be able to, unfortunately, call the game, but look forward to watching both of them.
You get excited about first crack, don't you?
Yes, I do.
There's cameras in here, Joey. Cameras in here, Joey, when you shake your head.
I enjoy first crack.
A man who featured on the Sunday Footy Show today, 100 games at Collingwood, 100 games at Carlton, is Daisy Thomas.
Was I a quiz face?
You were a quiz face
was
today.
Was I a positive or a minus?
Positive points today. Good. 2+
like
positive.
That. Thank you.
Did
I like
Kane
that.
Kane comment on Daisy?
No, I tried to get into it. I tried to walk him down that path, but I think Kane's had a big week. But I don't think he wanted to punch on with anybody else, so he put the cue away.
I like that. I did like the comments his brother made, too, about buying a Grange, and then his old man piled in over the top of that on Twitter saying,
"That was good.
My son won't be buying grain, sure." Did have a good chuckle at that.
Everybody's favourite journalist, Jay-Z Clark, is in the house.
Yes, hello, Brownie. We're all pretty tight here in the Triple M team, very supportive of each other. Of course, we've got a few rubs. There's a Friday night, there's a Saturday, and then the Sunday as well. But there's been a fracturing.
Competitive, though. One's a huddle.
Compared, but we box on enough with the other stations,
yeah.
Right? So we sort of have to throw our arms around each other in the radio wars. And I just wondered whether there's starting to be some splintering and some fracturing.
Well, what's right. happened now?
Well, should we introduce the other member of our panel before we get into it?
Setting the scene for him.
Because we do have the 3-time premiership player. Apparently it cost him $500 Brownlow by not going to another club of his choice. But Steve Johnson is on studio in Wangaratta, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I am, Brownie, up in Albury, actually. So our man, Ewan Giles, has given me a chance to re-energise the batteries. So just slipped up to Albury this morning after a good win yesterday in Myrtleford.
So you're not coming down for the afternoon game either then?
I hope Jay's not referring to me when he's talking about splintering.
Is this what you mean? So you and Joey aren't rocking up because it's too hard on a Sunday?
Yes.
No, I heard Rabsy had the Sunday supper, so and it won't be any good, so decided to stay here.
If it's worse than yours, it'd be remarkable.
All right, you've been in good form.
Believe how many people have come up to me during the week and saying, what's the go with your orange cake? That must be no good.
Well, the orange cakes were okay.
But everyone went to some really good effort to make some lunch, and you put zero effort in at all. You got your wife and your daughter
delegated
to do everything, and their food was nice, but it's just that you didn't put any effort in.
I'm just making sure I start with a low bar, and then the next time it'll improve, and I'll get some really good feedback. I'm just going to start low and then work my way up to the prawns and the oysters.
I want to talk to you
else.
About something in a minute too, Stevie J, which I'm not happy about. But Jay-Z, off the top, you were throwing some hand grenades.
Well, as I said, we're normally very supportive. You know, Damo's looked after me over the journey, how he's been a bit of a mentor to Lee over the journey as well. But,
He's been a mentor to you, Lee.
Is that right?
I do. Howie's been good.
Well,
a mentor?
But we know that Howie's been...
Hang on. You used the word mentor. Like that says to me that and also Howie are quite tight and they spend a lot of time together and they go over various things about their media work. Would that be right?
I value Howie's opinion. He's been great to me. I look and respect his work and try and
But is he your mentor?
I wouldn't say mentor.
Jay went with mentor.
Jay's put a bit of mayo on that.
I see him at Fox Footy when Joey came into the calling thing, Howie sort of put his arm around Joey and said, "You can call as good as me one day," and these were a few tips and tricks, etc. So, you know, I think that it's been a positive sort of supportive relationship between the pair. But Howie, as we know, as we've heard about 54 times, he's been over to India commentating the IPL and had a couple of weeks off the footy. And I think Darce's was away as well. So Daisy Thomas and Lee Montagna, I think you both had dinners booked for the Friday night, but you cancelled those and helped get around the Friday night team.
Helped them out last week because obviously Howie was getting his cash in India. Das was away. I normally Friday night, that's my pizza and beer night, my nice quiet night watching the footy, but I went and helped
Which I was happy because we worked together, so it was seamless for us. Surely I didn't get any criticism. I said the Lions would win. Charlie Cameron would kick six goals. He kicked four. He threatened to kick six. I was pretty close to the mark in my specials.
We'll get to the point, Jack.
Well, I immediately thought that this would take the Friday night to a new level, you know, better than the normal stuff. Did my ears prick up on this Friday night when I heard Howie say this?
Now, I listened to the call in Ahmedabad, I think I was, and I tuned in because Joey and Daisy were here filling in and Nate was calling.
I didn't hear the call.
Setup. I wouldn't bother to go back.
Oh.
you know when you go away and you're told in the media never leave your job because someone can replace you? You are fine. You are absolutely fine, Dars.
Take another week. Maybe go back again.
You take 2 years and come back. And I think
What do you think of Nathan's hosting, though? I thought he did a good job.
So fairly brutal in his assessment there,
Joey. What about that drive-by? We've just tried to do them a favour.
So do you take that as he's talking about you filling in, calling on behalf of him? And
I mean, he wasn't talking about Jay-Z or Stevie J, was he?
Mentors clipped him.
A little clip.
But in the context of sort of the success of the Sunday over the past sort of the 3 or 4 years, Joey, compared to sort of the Friday, because I heard in the latest ratings... I think the baton had been sort of already passed, but
when you go in ratings, this is starting to get personal. Well, I like this.
Rabsy, our producer, I think he's got a bit of paper kick floating around somewhere. I think you seen it, Joey.
Sunday Rub doing better ratings, better downloads.
So I think there's an official red
get
ranking.
To the point, Jay-Z.
Well, I think the Friday night team, which you were a part of, has got that far ahead of itself. And Howie, of course, with all his IPL sort of stuff.
Lost a bit of perspective.
And Dars on holidays.
Exactly. He's trying to drag us down. I think he should look at trying to lift your own product.
I'll tell you what, I missed that bit at the start of the Friday huddle. But you know what I did do? I tuned in. I played golf at Commonwealth on Friday. Got in the car about 6:15. And I thought I had it on SEN, Brownie, because I got in and they had Aaron Finch talking about the Mumbai Indians in the IPL playing the Delhi Daredevils. I was a bit like, hang on, isn't Richmond Geelong on Friday night footy? Wouldn't there be a big game to talk about? It was Finchy talking about IPL.
I don't do the rundown, Joey. I just fall in line of what all the other blokes want to
do. I thought it was Gilly.
No, that was the week before.
Oh, they did the IPL like 2 weeks
in
a row,
did they? Part-time cricket show preview. Okay. That's good. Oh, it's different.
2 weeks in a row.
I don't mind it. I thought Finchie was okay, though.
Yeah.
And I thought Howie and I were tight. So I'm not sure where that
came
from.
So what's your response to Howie? So that's a kick in the teeth because you work together here. You work together at Fox.
No, I know, Howie. It's only attempted humour. That was all good. We all take it very well at Triple M. It's all a bit of fun.
I'd like you to fire a shot back.
No, I don't want to fire shots. I don't have the bullets like Daisy. We'll keep it in. We're all good.
Have we got the Finchie clip?
I don't think so.
Have we got the Gilly clip?
No.
We haven't got
There you go. But no, we're all tight. Can you just, where do you sit in all this? Because you're the man in the middle here.
Don't you play Switzerland.
And now you're the Sunday rubber. Where do you sit on all this?
Well, I go where the ratings go. So at the moment, if Sunday's the best, that's where we are. But we are the best because we've got a new team member. You done? Yeah, we've got a new team member. And I thought we were tight. So I thought.
Well, that's what we're trying to do, isn't it?
Yeah. And I thought me and Stevie J after. We had a bit of a clash over our football careers. He decked me one day at Geelong and ran past me and then tried to kick me while I was down. But I thought we were tight. So Joey asked Daisy. I work with Stevie J every Thursday in at Sports Pit and we do a program with Jay and everything's going along swimmingly. I've even texted him off air to say how well he's doing. I thought his special comments were great.
A bit more of that captaincy pump-up
you've
been doing.
Yeah, I'm in the car. More of that Darcy Moore style captaincy, really positive.
Yeah. I'm in the car the other day. Driving to the Friday night game with Richo, one of my great mates, obviously. And we're talking about Stevie J and how well he's been going at Triple M. And I couldn't have pumped him up any more to Richo. And he turned to me and he said, are you going to his 40th?
Oh.
And I went, what do you mean? And he goes, I'm surprised that I got an invite, but I thought you would have got it. So I said,
Matty Richardson did.
Is it you got the right Steve Johnson? And he goes, well, he sent me an invite. Steve is turning 40. I'd love you to come and celebrate with me. In Wangaratta on the 8th of July, and it's reply to Steve Johnson. So Richo was surprised. So I'm just going to ask everyone in the box because how close we've all become. So I would have thought that everybody would have got an invite. Did you get an invite to Steve Johnson's 40th?
So I received the same text that Matty Richardson did.
So you got an invite.
I got the invite.
You mean that invite?
Yes.
The invite. Yeah.
So you got an invite?
I got an invite, yeah.
No, I didn't get an invite.
So Joey and Daisy both get invites.
Yeah.
But me and Jay-Z don't get an
Maybe
invite.
Maybe in the back pocket's not going as well as you think.
Now, I know that we're probably not the closest, and I've probably got things on Sunday morning, so I can't get there. But it's just an invite. Here's an invite to my 40th.
Even
anyway.
If it's a token one?
Just a token. I'm happy with a token. Yeah. Yes, Stephen?
I sent that to the wrong Richardson. I was supposed to send it to my old manager, Dan Richardson. He sent it to Matty, so... But he's welcome to come and do a stand-up for the boys that'll be there. And I was actually looking after the program by not inviting you, even though it was forthcoming. I know that you anchor the show, and I've taken that day off because I know what I'm going to get up to that night. And so I'm just looking after the Sunday rub to make sure that the ratings stay high. So don't take offence to that. You have been my mentor since landing in the media industry. You've taken me under your wing, and I have got a lot of respect for you, and I've started to like you now.
It's hard not to take offence when Daisy and Joey both got invites. What about Jay? What's your excuse for not inviting Jay?
To be honest, there's a few of my best mates that have been texting me. I haven't actually sent out and looked at who I've invited and who I haven't. It's sort of just been off-the-cuff invites, so I'm still getting around to those people.
Is Stevie talking a bit slower today?
It's been a wild night if you're inviting Dan Richardson.
Dan Richardson? He probably could have got me a few extra dollars over my career, actually. So.
Very good.
And Jay, can you drink a coffee? You've been that slow this morning.
It takes a long time to get to a point, doesn't he, Jay?
I get told to slow down. I talk so fast.
Anyway, hey, happy Mother's Day too out there. We'll just keep going. I'm going to say happy Mother's Day to my mum and my wife, Erin, for there. So well done to them. Happy Mother's Day.
Got any news, Jay?
Yes, there is some concern. does Joey want to continue with our Mother's Day?
Just out of the minute here.
I'm going to talk about my mum.
Jay's the one that told
us. Jay's come in and said, make sure you've got a nice point to make about your mum or like the loved ones in your life, your special carers, whatever they are on this day.
Thank you, Daisy.
And then Stevie
J 40th just started to flander a bit there, so I thought let's go to the next topic. Yeah. You said Mother's Day, and then you looked at me and gave
I was
going
to talk about my Wiz Kappa invitation to his 60th. But maybe that's best I talk after the event.
Yes.
Maybe I take a little microphone.
Do you want to say Happy Mother's Day, Brownie, or you're not a big Happy Mother's Day man?
I've already said that on the Sunday Footy Show this morning. Right. So and Mum was a guest on the quiz. She was the lifeline today.
Were you nervous about that?
Yeah, absolutely nervous. I rang her. I sent her the actual answers to everything. And when I went to her the very first time, she'd actually hung up the phone. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, that's good. And yours, Daisy?
I cooked breakfast / ate it with them. My mum, my sister, and Tash, of course, playing a beautiful stepmumming role at the moment.
Very good. Typically hard to get people to the footy on Mother's Day, of course, so there is a different schedule. Happy Mother's Day to my mum. I just spoke to her. She's working hard. And my wife, Jane, for taking my young bloke. She had an 8 a.m. Junior footy game this morning, which is a bit tough.
And she lets you go to all these events. You go to the races, you go to the Grand Prix, everything without Jane. So she's a wonderful wife
And he lived at home until he was 28, Jay, so he should thank his mum very well.
Jesus. Did he?
28, down in Geelong.
28?
No.
It was close.
Anyway. Well, what's some footy news, Jay-Z?
Yes, all right. Hey, concern at Melbourne over a couple of injured stars. We know Christian Petrarca is one of the best ball winners in the competition, but as you can see, after the final siren in the win over Hawthorn yesterday. They had the 4 points in the pocket pretty quickly, and that won the Demons. But Christian Petrarca went down with a sore left foot ankle. He will have scans on that most likely today, along with Harrison Petty, being important for the Demons ahead of the ball. Joey, he was also subbed out with a foot concern. The Demons at this stage hopeful that both those players will be right for a big one, a top four showdown against Port Adelaide on Friday night. The D's, of course, on top of the ladder. 7 wins from their first 9 games. But at North Melbourne, isn't there some concerns? They might have to make 5 changes for their game against Sydney on Saturday at Marvel Stadium. Aidan Corr's looking at a 1-match suspension for whacking Ollie Lord. But there are some big names here, injuries. LDU Luke Davies Uniax out with a hamstring injury, along with Darcy Tucker, who come across from Fremantle. Flynn Perez out with concussion, it seems, and Jack Marnie's got a shoulder injury. So North Melbourne, who have been poor over the first month, looking at making five changes, including Luke Davies' Uniacke.
They wouldn't be far away from playing their other top draft pick, George Wardlaw. He's going to be a star. We haven't seen him yet.
Had 18 in the VFL yesterday.
I wonder whether he's fit enough. I'm not sure where he's at, but maybe that's an opportunity now just to get him in and play. I think Callum Coleman-Jones kicked 9 goals, so he should walk back into that team as well.
Ben Cunnington will be the interesting one, of course, got dropped to the VFL. Will we see them prefer Wardlaw, the youngster top draft pick, over Cunnington? Be interesting, a North Melbourne selection this week. But some concerns about their start or their form after a warm and fuzzy start.
Fareem Hot Water at McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Sunday afternoon football. We've got Collingwood and GWS coming up later from the MCG, but this is a shortened edition of the Sunday Rub, and we've got Western Bulldogs women Oscar Baker coming up, Jay-Z's top five, Herald Sun journos, Daisy's top 10 teammates, but now it's time for...
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Carlton certainly becoming a big story, if not the biggest story of the season so far. We know about the expectations for the Blues to make the finals this year for the first time in a decade. And the Pokies King, the billionaire benefactor Craig Matheson, did not miss when he went hard at the football club, and in particular its leaders in the Herald Sun yesterday. But one goal from the first half, Lee Montagne, you called it for Triple M last night. We know they made some rejigs after halftime, a bit more handball, focused more on the smalls and brought the big guys, Charlie Curnow and Harry Mackay, up. But how does a team kick one goal from 29 entries in the first half? Did it encapsulate everything that is a bit out of whack about Carlton?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was a little bit of everything. I think they're still trying to work out their ball movement and what their best system looks like. They sort of lack confidence at the moment, which is obvious. And then I think it's becoming more evident they lack real class and talent. When you think across the field and you're looking at their players that kick the ball, a lot of them are just average kicks. So young Ollie Hollins has been great, but he's not going at the draft. He's kicking Blake Akers on the other wing. Some of their half forwards, like Motlop's, a lively small forward, but he's not... as polished and talented. And then you go through the midfielders and some other guys that we know about with, Hewitt and Kennedy and et cetera. So there's some concerns. Even Sam Doherty, I think, is only just a good kick. I don't think he's an elite kick.
They've got players that do, Joey, Adam Saad
and Charlie Curnow. And Charlie Curnow is the other one that's the elite kick.
But still Adam Saad gets the ball and his first option is to chip it sideways 10 or 15 metres. Well, he's an elite kick. If he's on the run and he should be dashing more often using the football. But his first option is safety, which is the Sam Doherty style as well. So when they got those players at halfback doing that, that stifles their movement. Yep. And I know that they turned it around in the second half, but that's not sustainable, playing Owies and Durden and Motlop in their forward line, having the two big fellas up. So they've got to figure that out. I thought 2-3 to Curnow, but they're bereft of goal kicking at the moment. Stevie, you need to go down there as a goal kicking coach, because the amount they hit on the belly of their snaps last night was alarming.
Yeah, I think Vossi's been on the phone this morning and given me a call, but I haven't called him back yet. So I'll get down there through the week.
It is a really big issue, and pressure will build it at Carlton, clearly. But when you say that, Joey, that's an interesting comment. Talent's a question. I mean, Carlton fans...
No, the skill, the kicking ability of some of their players, the kicking skills.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. What I'm saying is they've been out of the finals for a decade and have had as many high picks as you could possibly want.
Yeah.
Talent can't... Carlton fans will vomit or spew up, to use a Terry Wallace line, thinking that they don't have enough talent. Like, they should be prime, Daisy.
No, it's the polish. The talent, you can't question the talent. It's the polish top of that.
Creativity and polish.
And at the minute, I think you look at the Craig McRae model, where it's continue just to go and go and go, and if you make mistakes, we'll cop it. I feel like the Blues are playing a touch tight at the minute. So Doherty, who does usually use the ball well off halfback, McGovern gets it a little bit and isn't the greatest kick. They go a couple of times and then they make a mistake and then they choose to play safe. That's when they get it and look lateral, and that just invites other teams to set up defensively, and you can't score. You then can't transfer the ball down to the big guys up there. That's why you kick 3 points in the first quarter, 1-4 to half time. So it makes it tough. I think if you're Michael Vosh, you'd be saying, right, this week we're going and we're having footies in our hands as much as possible and just keep taking the game on.
But that's why I think the disconnect is still, you've got to have a game plan that suits what you've got. So I think they still try and play a bit too perfect, precise football with their kicking game. You look at Richmond, who won 3 flags, you wouldn't say they were the most talented kicking team, but they St. played Kilda. a surge mentality. They used their handball more. Melbourne a little bit the same when they won their flag. I mean, you know, Oliver and Viney and these guys aren't also the most elite kicks, but they suit the style of play. So I want to see Carlton like that in the second half. Just use their hands a bit more, because they are elite by hands, a lot of them.
A
bit more chaos, and find the balance between trying to be precise with their kicking and giving their forwards and some more ball movement a chance because you can't be the number one team for disposals in the comp but be 14th for inside 50s. That's where the disconnect lies.
The Pies, the Swans, and the D's to come in the next three.
So it's really huge. You know, I thought Adam Cherry, I thought he was the man from Fremantle, Joey, to provide some of that polish. Matty Kennedy as well in there. Georgie Hewitt's a very good player. They are missing Zach Williams, Jack Martin out of the team as well. So Carlton will continue to be a massive story. The flip side, we'll hear from Michael Voss, who actually described last night as a step forward.
I thought we took our moments when we needed to. We took it offline when we needed to. Yeah, we were able to string some great passages of play together, but it still requires, you know, a finish in the end. And, yeah, I think we're running at, you know, first half running 17%, you know, scores per entry. I mean, that's just way too low compared to, and they got a couple of goals in the second quarter, I guess, against the run of play a little bit. And that can hurt a fair bit because you're working so hard to get at your end and score, but they were able to go at the other end twice and they scored two goals from those two entries. So that can hurt a bit. So we sort of reflected on that a little bit at halftime and we sort of felt like we were in a good place with most things in our game, but, you know, clearly the front half part needed some work and we weren't part... Like I said, most of the game we had some parts of our game that you sort of walked away and with, well, that looks more like us. But it wasn't long enough. So that leaves you walking away pretty disappointed.
And that's the point of the frustration, I think, is they are actually doing a lot of other things in their game right. Like, they are winning the contest. They are holding up defensively pretty well. They're turning the ball over and winning it back in pretty good spots. It's just that connection piece in their forward half and converting that's killing them. And that's where they can still work on it and still salvage the season, but time's running out, as we know.
Just got to learn to win dirty. As you said, they want it perfect at the minute. And when it is perfect, it looks really pretty. But you don't get that on your terms for much more than probably 5-10 minutes at a time in the modern game. So you got to then go into scrap mode. Go and scrap a goal from those entries you have. Don't let it bounce back out. If you are only going at 17%, just have an emphasis on manic pressure down there to keep it in, and eventually you'll get a shot and take your chances. But when you're trying to play perfect footy, it doesn't hold up, as we've seen.
And if you're wondering what that rattle is in the background, that's Lee Montagna just digging into his meatballs.
So let's just talk about, because we all have the Sunday supper every week, so the listeners would know, Stevie bought in a pathetic Sunday supper last week. So it was the job of our producer, Rabsy, to bring it in today. And the meatballs were outstanding.
Delicious.
The juice in them, they've got parmesan everywhere, finished off with rocket. That is what you call a Sunday supper.
A side of garlic bread as well.
Yeah, unbelievable.
A bit of rocket lettuce, beautiful.
Be food to your heart, Joey.
10 out of 10, Rabsy. The flip side of this coin is the Bulldogs. I'm not sure they're getting enough credit for what they've done at the moment because they sucked in the first 2 weeks, it's fair to say, with 50-point losses. And there were calls for Luke Beveridge's head, weren't they? They were unmissable. But they've won the four out of the past five. And last night, some massive moments. Bailey Smith rolled up his sleeves inside. Tommy Liberatore kicked that important goal. Arthur Jones kicked that last one late near the boundary line. But also defensively, what do you think? Liam Jones has come in, done the job, kept Carlton to one goal in the first half. That was a big question mark, Brownie. How could their team defence stand up this season? They've made some tweaks. And they deserve some credit.
They did make some tweaks, and I think he needs some credit, Luke Beveridge, because there's been the same at the Bulldogs for a long time. So he went back to what he knew worked. Jason Johannesson with pace. I remember we spoke about in the first 2 weeks, they looked slow through the midfield. Johannesson goes back to halfback. Oscar Baker, who we're going to speak to next, pace across the wing. Arthur Jones, pace at half forward. Then they've taken McRae sort of out of that midfield, put him on the wing. He's played a variety of roles, but they've played more pace through that midfield. And then Liam Jones at half back. So they've been able to stand up pretty well. And big ticks to Luke Beveridge.
More power. What about the reverse end of the ladder, the bottom end of the ladder, where North Melbourne, West Coast, and even Hawthorne, to an extent, have emerged as clear, easy beats. And we like to keep it positive here at Triple M. Normally, there is one, potentially two each year. This year, we have three. And so when the teams come up against these three sides this year, basically, there's a 4 points banked in the skyrocket already. Are you concerned about the impact this could have on the season, in particular in the run home? Because normally we don't normally get three.
We discussed this on the Sunday Footy Show this morning. What's the problem? Every year it feels like we've got two pretty ordinary sides, who you belt. And as the season goes on, the beltings get bigger and bigger because there's the energy sucked out, and losing week after week, all of a sudden you rock up to training, it just feels like Groundhog Day. But I think Hawthorn are detached from those two a little bit. I think they've been competitive apart from the Fremantle game, maybe early against Hawthorn, against Melbourne. I thought they've been pretty competitive, Hawthorn. I think Sam Mitchell's coaching really well. But the other two, I agree with you, but it's always been that way.
So
yeah, there's an extra. I mean, the reality is Hawthorn have last on the ladder, Brownie. So we're talking about how bad North Melbourne and West Coast are going. Hawthorn are last. So as much as you can say they've been competitive, they've got a percentage of 60%. So there is three. But I agree with Brownie, there's normally two teams that are always easy beats. I think the I suppose the advantage is to the teams that play these teams twice.
Yep.
That's the big
advantage.
Which
is Essendon.
Essendon. So not only do you get the 4 points, but you can also bump your percentage up, which is going to be important for top eight spots in the ladder. And if you want to now, you can start to rest players against these teams, freshen up some of your veterans or players that might be a niggle. You're still going to get the win, and you can come out of it in a much better position.
So tell me here, question without notice, Stevie, you can start. Who are you most concerned about? Who do you think's closest to a premiership? If you could take a pick of one of those three, North Melbourne, West Coast, Hawthorn, who are you taking and who are you most concerned about?
Well, I'd be taking Hawthorn. I still think they've got some really handy young players, and they're going to the draft and they're going about it that way rather than bringing in high-end talent or mature players. So I think that they've probably got a 3 or 4 year plan to get back up into finals contention and then contend for a premiership. West Coast is a worry because they've still got their senior players on their list, and you know, with the injury list, they've got some excuses. North Melbourne, yeah, I just don't know if they're going to be a destination club. So they're a big worry for me, North Melbourne. But the one that I'm actually a bit concerned about, I've just been waiting for the Sydney Swans to show me that they're the team that they're capable of. But it's just their depth at the moment. Once you get past their top 25 players, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel to bring in that, you know, that next player to come into the team. And for me, they're the most underperforming team in the competition right now. So I'm a bit concerned about them.
Five of their grand final side is out at the moment. So at least 18 of those players played. It's just been the two McCartans, and I think Rampy have really hurt them. So
yeah,
three
key
players.
Reed and Dylan Stevens are probably fringe players at best anyway in the side.
Yeah, and then we see that, you know, Buddy Franklin, like, he's been an absolute champion of the game. But just those last couple of weeks, he's... You know, the end is coming, isn't it?
Well, you ranked him number 20 in the competition at the start of the season for the best key forwards in the league. He got straight onto you on the text message. Well, he wouldn't be the 20th best key forward. Is it?
Stevie Joe's being generous.
Yes. So what is the best way to retire? Like, this is probably his last season. We saw Jack Rewald.
Are you calling it now? He's done at the end of the year?
I'd be surprised if he goes on.
But I think that's a certainty. I think this is definitely his last season of footy. I think he was seriously contemplating retiring at the end of last year, and the Sydney Swans talked him around to having another year and hopefully having a crack at winning a grand final, knowing that he's not going to be the player that he once was, but he can still be an important cog in that forward line if they go about it the right way. So interesting to see how it plays out, because right at the moment you would say that... his position in the team is, you know, it's not as certain as, you know, it has been throughout his career.
Which I don't begrudge champions going for 1 year extra. It just makes it more difficult if you get to this situation, how it all finishes up.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Triple M Sunday Rub. You've got Lee Montagna, Dale Thomas, Steve Johnson, and also JZ Clark. But this man's flying at the moment for the Western Bulldogs out in the wing. He's got some real pace, and I love the way he looks. Oscar Baker, welcome to the Sunday Rub, mate. Have you ever watched any footage of Phil Malan when he played back in the 80s?
Thanks for having me, guys. No, I didn't actually, but I've actually copped that comparison quite a bit the last couple of weeks, so it's funny you mentioned that.
A remarkable resemblance. So he had sort of thick curly hair on top, Phil Malan. He had the orange moustache, and he was my assistant coach when I first got to the Dogs in 97, but he was a hell of a guy. One day he stopped in the petrol station. He always used to leave his keys on to go in and get a packet of fags, and by the time he came back out, someone had stolen his car.
Good story.
So, Oscar, let's talk about some football now. Your team is flying at the moment. How are you finding it?
Yeah, absolutely loving it, mate. Yeah, it's obviously a lot more enjoyable when we're winning games, and yeah, we're managing to do that at the moment. I think we won 4 of our last 5, so really positive. And last night was probably our best win for the season, I reckon. Just the way we were able to wrestle back the momentum in the last quarter when Carlton were really coming hard at us. It was probably easy for us to just fall over in the end and let them run at the top of us. But I thought the way we wrestled back the momentum, got the game back on our terms, was a real positive and, yeah, really good win in the end.
And there were some big moments. Challenged late but stood up. We mentioned Tommy Liberatore and Arthur Jones off the top. They were fantastic. Can you tell us about the changes, Oscar? So after the first 2 weeks, you know, two heavy, heavy defeats, and everyone came for the footy club, and in particular the coach. Can you tell us, over the past 5 or 6 weeks, what are the changes the Bulldogs have been trying to implement?
Yeah, I think we were pretty poor at just doing the basics really well in the first couple of weeks. So yeah, we really just honed in on that at training. Yeah, got back to just executing the basics well. Everyone just having a real focus on executing their role and playing the way for the team. So I think we've really fixed that the last couple of weeks. And then from that, we're just getting a lot more confidence back in our ball movement. And I think we're looking a lot more damaging going forward, the footy. So yeah, it's been great signs for the boys.
Oscar, just following on from that, does that mean at the start of the year it was maybe a little bit overcomplicated? You were trying a few different things and losing the fundamentals of footy. Was that probably how it was seen the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think so, potentially, yeah. And I think, like, we had a few new players come in, myself, Lobby, Liam Jones slotting back in there as well. We had a lot of tools down there at one point as well. So probably just all of us getting used to the game plan, coming into a new environment and playing with each other. And then I think as the season's evolved the last couple of weeks, we've got some real continuity in that, and everyone's starting to gel well together. And, yeah, we're putting some strong performances together.
When you came up against the Blues, you do your oppo. What was the thing that you guys identified that you had to take away from them? Because it obviously worked, kept them to 3 points and only a goal in the whole first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it right there. Just the winning the ball around the source. We knew they were going to come out really fired up. It was always pretty scrutinised in the media last week that they were struggling a little bit. So we knew they were going to come out all guns blazing and really take it up to us. So, yeah, we knew we just had to win the contested possession. They've obviously got a really formidable midfield, as do we. But, yeah, we knew we just had to match it in there. And, yeah, who did that better throughout the game was probably going to run away with the win. So, yeah, we were able to do that better for longer and come away with the points, which is really pleasing.
Just, you said on the media there, how much attention are the players paying to the media these days?
No, I wouldn't say too. You don't look into it too much.
Heaps,
but
Oscar, heaps.
You probably don't want to distract too much of that. We want to control what we control, but we kind of did bring it up internally that, yeah, Carlton did have their backs against the wall and we're going to come out really hard at us. So, yeah, that was a real clear focus for us coming into the game. And, yeah, as I said, I thought we were really, really good. We prepared really well and, yeah, we were able to execute.
Speaking of Oscar Baker, the wingman from the Western Bulldogs, I really enjoyed your fake laugh you gave Jay-Z there. That was terrific. What do you do away from football? When you're not playing football, what's Oscar Baker do?
I'm pretty boring. I play a lot of golf. We've got a bit of a crew at the Dogs that like to get out on the golf course on our days off and have a hit. Can't say we hit them too well, but yeah, that kind of keeps us busy in the spare time. Then just spend a lot of time with my girlfriend, my dogs. I've got a little Rottweiler who's 1 year old, so she keeps me busy. And that's about it, really. So, yeah, as exciting as it gets.
Who's the best golfer on the team?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd probably say Bailey Dale at the moment.
Bailey Dale?
Really well. Yeah, hits him really well.
Nice.
And an extraordinary debut with James O'Donnell playing to Oscar, obviously the son of Australian Test cricketer Simon O'Donnell. Heartwarming a speech throughout the week. What did you think when he first rocked up to the club? Did you think he could make his debut in, 6 to 8 weeks?
If I'm being completely honest, no, probably not. It caught us off by surprise a little bit. I didn't think personally he'd debut this quickly, but it's credit to him. He's had some really strong performances in the VFL. He's really gelled into our system well, hasn't put a foot wrong, and he had a really strong pre-season with the Footscray VFL boys. So, yeah, he's done everything right since he got to the club. And, yeah, I was stoked for him when he got the opportunity when Bevo let him know the news that he'd be playing. And, yeah, it was a real privilege to run out with him there last night, and hopefully it's the first of many more to come.
Stevie J, you there, mate? You got a question?
I've been putting my hand up. I'm in the studio.
Yeah, you've got to use your words
in
here,
Aubrey,
mate.
Putting my hand up, wanting to ask you a question. They just keep jumping in. It's all about them. A bit of me time for the boys. But I was a bit more interested in Tom Liberatore. He's having a fantastic year, obviously in the twilight of his career. But I just want to know, what kind of character is he like around the footy club?
Yeah, he's a great character, Tommy. Obviously, everyone sees what he does on the field. It's pretty formidable. But, yeah, he's a bit of a larrikin off the field, brings all the energy around the club all week, gets you up and about, and, yeah, real positive vibes around the club. So, yeah, he's a great teammate to have. You kind of walk taller when you walk out there with him on the field. And, yeah, he's a great person to be around all the time. So, yeah, I love playing with Tommy.
Hey, Oscar, we're just watching the game on replay in here at the Fox Studios. It's the third quarter, late in the third quarter. We just saw you come on screen. You burst away, got the handball, took a bounce through the corridor. And then what happened next? Remember what happened next?
Don't remind me.
Jesse Motlop's just mowed you down, holding the ball. That literally just came on the screen as we were talking to you right now.
I had nightmares last night, Jesse popping up. So, I won't be taking him on any time soon.
But, mate, in all seriousness, you must be just pumped with your own football to be able to resurrect your career, be such a solid contributor and regular player in a side now that's heading to the finals. You must be pretty proud of what you've been able to achieve.
Yeah, I am, mate. I'm absolutely loving it. It's pretty funny how it's all worked out. Yeah, I thought my career was pretty much done a few months ago. And, yeah, to play every game so far this season has been a real positive for me. I'm really loving my time with the club. And, it's a really good group to be a part of. And, the wind's ticking along now is really nice. And I think we're really going in the right direction. So hopefully we can keep the wind's ticking over, have a really strong end to the season and then push on to finals. So, but it's been an awesome year for me personally as well, and hopefully I can keep contributing.
Oscar, we love what you do. Phil Malan loves what you do, so keep going at the Western Bulldogs, mate.
Nah, thanks, guys. Thanks very much for having me.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks free.
Not far away from Adelaide, up against St Kilda, your call team there is Chris Dittmar, Brenton Yates, Bernie Vince, Sean Burgoyne and Theo Neropoulos. But now it's time for something we've done over the last couple of weeks. We've done our top 10 players. So Stevie Johnson did his top 10 players that he's played with last week. Gary Ablett was number one.
Very good.
Joey then did his top 10 St Kilda players, left out Max Hudson, then went to the social boys and said, please don't post that because I need to put Max in it.
I left out Stewie Lowe and Nathan Burke, a couple of handy players.
So now we thought the idea, the baton has been passed to Daisy, who obviously a premiership player at Collingwood, then you went to Carlton and played with some great players there. So Daisy's top 10.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do this in a slightly different way because I like to do things slightly differently. So I'm going to go my top five from the Pies, a top five from the Blues, and a top five overall. You happy with that? So it could be a top 15 or it's just top five.
It's not really a top 10, but you do it the way you want.
Thank you. So from the Pies, coming in at number five, Paul Lecuria, Scott Burns, and James Clement.
Oh, hang on a minute.
This is disgraceful start.
Very good players. Number four, Alan Dydek.
So who are those five again?
Three.
Who?
Lecuria, Burns, and Clement.
Ooh. Couldn't split them.
Well, then they were the back end of my career, but also very good players throughout that time. And if I put one in, I felt bad leaving the others out. You knew how tough this was.
Could have done a top eight.
I kicked five of them in one quarter.
On Clement, didn't on Clement?
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have him in your top five defenders then, but that's fine. Number four, Alan Dydek. Obviously, his ability to turn a game, unbelievable player. Loved everything he did. Number three, Nathan Buckley. So he comes in at three, obviously superstar, was coming towards the end when I got there, obviously probably would have been higher if I'd seen the entirety of his career. Coming in at number two for the Pies, Dane Swan.
Ooh.
Brownlow medalist, heart and soul, got the game going when it needed to be, posted big numbers, hardly ever played well, and number one.
So hang on, so we've got two Rat Pack members. Is there two or three?
No.
I sort of lost count.
I don't think Buckley was in it.
it's a top eight at this point.
Yeah, now when you got to your first, your number five, there was three, so that three. Did you have, was there any Rat Pack members in your?
No, just two.
Three people at five?
No, okay. And you'll like this, number one, and no real surprises, the best player played with Scotty Pendlebury. All class, gets it done. Too many awards. Only thing, I was nearly putting him at two with Dane Swan because I'm still a little bit pissed off that he got the Norm Smith.
Oh.
Because if he had it done over 2 weeks, it should have been me. But anyway, he didn't rock up the first week and played really well the second.
Well, so some players that might have missed out and felt unlucky. Your captain, Nick Maxwell.
Heath Shaw.
Yeah, well, and again, it's tough. Like, they're fantastic players. Nick was a fantastic captain, not so much the fantastic player. He was just sort of meat and three veg. Presty, again, he was the original chuck the caravan on.
Alan Tovey.
Tooves was a bit stiff, so was Danny Stanley. So the list could go on.
Okay, so that's your top eight.
That's the top eight. There.
Jimmy Clement, who else did you have? Equal?
Scotty Burns,
Dids, Bucks, Swanee, and Pendle. So a nice top eight.
No, Mason Cox.
No Travis Cloak.
No Mason. I didn't actually.
Travis Cloak.
No. And again, it's
bloody good player.
He was a very good player. But again, you can't put everyone into the top eight.
You can't.
What was Clokey around in the locker room? What was he like at the club?
He was probably the normalist of...
normalist.
Shadows.
And you like that word. And the most normal of the Cloaks.
Yeah.
Has everyone heard the famous story of the draft when Greg Swan went out to visit the Cloaks?
No,
and
tell me.
They sat down for a coffee and a small horse walked through. They had a little horse called Nugget that was like their dog and they'd allow it to walk through the house. Very good people, takes all types. The Blues, starting with number five, Bryce Gibbs. Obviously, number one draft pick. Played a lot of good footy before he went across to Adelaide. Didn't quite fire over there, but in my time, he was brilliant. Four, Patrick Cripps, the current skipper.
Ooh, four.
Cripper. Oh, yeah. Was, again, sort of, I was there for 6 years. In that time, he went from young kid to starting to become a real superstar. Won a couple of BNFs in that time. Three, Cade Simpson. The size and attributes that that bloke was blessed with and how he played was phenomenal. I just wish some of the current day players who are bigger, stronger, taller and tougher were built with a little bit of what he's got inside because they're superstars.
Grunt.
Carlton players will wonder how you got Cade Simpson ahead of Patrick Cripps, a Brownlow medalist.
I wasn't there last year when he won the Brownlow.
That's a good point.
No, I get that part.
Well,
obviously.
Do you? Because it sounds like you're slightly confused.
Well, aren't we just... I guess
stop trying to suck up time because you got yours coming up, so we need time for that.
Number two, Mark Murphy, obviously skipper for a long period of time when they were really struggling, carried the side, got tagged from a very early age, and what he was able to graft out from a career, fantastic. No surprises then that number one will be Christopher Judd, Brownlow medalist at the Blues. Was fantastic. Again, I'm spewing, I only got sort of the back end of his career, but he was still one of the best players that I've ever played with. So then the top five overall.
Okay, quickly.
Coming in at five, Dydak. Coming in at four, Buckley. Coming in at three, Judd. Two, Swan. One, Pendlebury.
Ooh, very good. Yeah, very good. That is a nice list. Judd at three.
Mm-hmm. Swan two.
Buckley at four. So Swan and Pendles. Oh, Juddy at three. Yeah. Ooh, very good list. You played with some bloody good players.
I did. Very fortunate.
All right. So that's Daisy. Now we turn our attention to the journos, which I think would raise a couple of eyebrows, people, because you've worked with some big names at the Herald Sun. Let's go with the top five over 20 years.
No honourable mentions.
And it's been nice working there, to be honest, because this is probably going to be the end of it.
Don't make this a top eight either, because that's just a weak way of doing things.
No, and there'll be no
edits.
That was
terrible.
So I got there in 2009. Been doing it since 2004, got the Herald Sun in 2009. Coming in at number five is a man well known to us. His name is Damien Barrett. So
five.
Damo.
Purple.
Five.
Damo
I want to be a good top four.
Damo is number five. So when I first started in the journalism caper, someone very senior said to me, it's a blood sport, son. So I knew from that point that it was, it could be competitive and all that sort of stuff at times. But when I walked into the Herald Sun office, Damien Barrett gave me a chance, put his arm around me, mate, you need a number, sort of gave me a bit of advice. So he's
a bit of a mentor.
Great teammate.
Taught you how to rip out of bins. He's a ripping fella.
Super
Did he leave the Herald Sun because he thought he was going to get the top gong and Robbo got it?
Well, if you listen to him on the Sounding Board podcast, he's clearly got an axe to grind against the Herald Sun, which I think personally is a bit sad because he does whack the paper a lot. He's held in very high regard by me and many others because he's won the Alf Brown Award I don't know how many times.
Does he vote on that?
Does he vote for himself? And he's been one of the best newsbreakers, seriously, for a very long period of time. When Alistair Clarkson chose North Melbourne, it was unsurprising to me.
He broke the Essendon drug scandal, yes?
That he broke the story.
Leroy's nodding.
Yes, he did.
So I think he did.
Absolutely,
did
he did.
Okay, I think
so number four. So the biggest story of all time in AFL, but he's at number five.
Yes. Mm. So number four is a man called Trevor Grant. So if Damo's a superstar, this guy is a legend. Lived a lifetime of journalism. He didn't just write stories. His words sung off the page, as they say. He was fearless in his reporting, took on the AFL over an incredible career, and would have a statue almost in the Journalism Hall of Fame.
Very well respected. You worked with him?
At the very start, yes. So I remember sitting in the car one day. I was a young bloke. He wrote a story about Nick Del Santo when he started. And this is an example.
Cool.
He said, this kid is a surgeon. He doesn't just kick the ball. He uses a scalpel. So they're the sort of, that was his standard sort of phrasing. He was outstanding. Number three, the current chief is Mark Robinson. Now, the beauty about Robbo, right, is if you wanted someone to write a story about yourself, you would go to Mark because he writes stories about people and humanity and emotion better than anyone. So he wrote about Nick Riewoldt's late sister, and it was one of the most compelling stories I've ever read. It was a beautiful tribute. He also wrote a story about Trevor Barker's mum. So when Trevor Barker was brought into the AFL Hall of Fame, Trevor Barker's mum got his jumper, smelt it for the first time in, X amount of years, and said that she could still smell him on this jumper. And Robbo wrote this incredible story. So his ability to catch people in the game over a double page spread is phenomenal. And he's a superstar in AFL 360, of course. Number two is Michael Warner. So he is the most fearless bloke.
Takes no prisoners, Mick Warner.
Oh, absolutely fearless. He has taken on the AFL over some
old school journalism about
it. Yes. So some of us still rely on our footy accreditation to get in the game on a weekly basis. I think they tried to take Mick's off his, to be honest, because he was so fearless. He did an incredible job with Mark Robinson on the Essendon drug saga at the time.
After Damo broke it.
Along with Damo, there was some incredible reporting. Caroline Wilson as well. So Mick Warner's fearlessness, he's won every award seven times over.
We're at the summit. Who is it?
It's the Godfather. Mike.
Oh, Mike.
Mike Sheehan. So it was absolutely compulsive reading every Monday, Mike Sheehan's take on the weekend. He would nail it. He's respected by absolutely everyone in the caper. Like, even if he had an argument with someone, a source or a contact or whatever, a person in football, he had everyone's respect over a 40-year career. He is the number one, clearly, over a long period of time. And he always had great advice for young journos in the office as well. My desk was opposite his there for a period, and he would always give you a little nugget. And his best advice he ever gave to me, Brownie, was put the players on a pedestal. We don't put the players on a pedestal enough.
He did do that as well. He loved the players. Yep. So apologies to a lot of them. Mike Sheehan, number one, but Michael Stevens, Sam Landsberger, Mark
Scotty
Stevens,
Gullen, boys.
Tony Sheehan, Scotty Gullen. Jake Nile didn't make it because of this.
Chris, have you considered what the shape of that game would be? And of course, it's a different universe with Jeremy Cameron playing for them, bearing in mind their forward issues and not for you, even though you had Tom, who was dominant. Just a combination of those two players compared to what they had.
No, not really. I had a few other things on my mind other than those weird hypotheticals.
Yeah, it's a beer.
You know who needs that? Bernie Vince needs that. Whenever he gets him with worse questions, he
just that is a very good list. It would have been hard to do, but very courageous. A lot more courageous than what Daisy showed.
Top five Herald Sun journos they are. We asked me to do a top 10, and I got to 8, and I thought, just kidding.
Hey, Stevie, thanks for joining us today. You said about 7 words, so hopefully you don't put an invoice in today.
You could have thrown to me a bit more often, boys. Where's the Hitch My Caravan? I come loaded.
Oh, so did Daisy today.
Save it for next week, mate.
I'll tell you what, boys, just keep an eye on Jordan DeGoey today. He is absolutely going to tear the Giants apart. 25 possessions plus and 4 plus goals.
Cut him off.
He's a pretty good player, so thanks for the scoop there, Sandra Sully. The old late news coming in. Jordan DeGoey, he's going to play well. Thanks very much for your input today, Stevie.
Looking
forward to going to your birthday party. Hey, Adelaide St Kilda not far away. It's going to be a massive game for McDonald's Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
For Ream Hot Water at McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.